Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Pictures presents a Mark Platt production. Legally Blonde. A girl runs a brush through thick locks of blonde hair. Starring Reese Witherspoon. Elsewhere, a blonde girl rides a bicycle over a bridge. On the front is a basket with a card on the top decorated with the name L. With Luke Wilson and Selma Blair. The girl who was brushing her hair is now shaving her slender leg. Meanwhile, the cyclist rides across the front lawns of some fraternity and sorority houses. A group of rowdy, half-naked boys cheer her on. Back in the bedroom, the girl puts on a heart-shaped silver necklace. Meanwhile, the blonde cyclist rides into the driveway of her sorority house, Delta Nu. In the bedroom, the girl puts on some nail varnish. A plaque reads, L. Woods, President. At the front door, the cyclist arrives bearing the card. The cyclist hands over the card to another blonde girl who beams happily and heads down the hallway with it. In the bedroom, a table's crowded with girly cosmetics and a pack of blonde hair dye. The girl with the card strolls through a gym crowded with even more blonde girls doing exercises. On the bedroom table are framed photographs of a little dog wearing a white outfit. Three blonde girls are practicing their cheerleading moves. The cheerleaders sign the card. In the bedroom, the blonde girl puts on some makeup. A banner reads, Homecoming Queen. She sprays some perfume onto her wrist, then slips her feet into some heart-shaped shoes. In the rest of the house, excited blonde girls huddle around the card, adding their messages. The girl carrying the card takes it into a steam-shrouded bathroom. She passes the card to a bouncy cheerleader who takes it away. The cheerleader kisses the card, hands it to a friend who adds her own kiss, then slips it under a door.
I love that restaurant. I heard Madonna went into labor there. Oh gosh, I have to go shopping. Okay, I'll see you tonight. Okay, bye. Bruiser, what's this?
She opens her card, delivered to her by her dog.
Oh, good luck tonight, Alan Warner forever. That's so cute.
Elle blows a kiss at a framed photograph of Warner, a handsome, chisel-jawed boy. Now at an outdoor party.
Oh my gosh, you guys are so sweet! But I'm not positive it's gonna happen tonight.
Hello! He just had lunch with his grandmother. You know he got the rock.
Why else would she have flown in from Newport? It's not like she'd FedEx a 6-carat diamond.
Do you really think?
Oh, I can't believe you're getting engaged!
Oh my gosh! You guys have to help me pick out the perfect outfit. Come on!
I think you should go with the red. It's the color of confidence.
I don't understand why you're completely disregarding your signature color.
He's proposing. I can't look like I would on any other date. This is the date. The night I'll always remember. I want to look special. Bridal. But not like I expect anything.
There's nothing I love more than a dumb blonde with daddy's plastic.
You know, he gets excited when he...
Did you see this one? We just got it in yesterday.
Oh, is this low viscosity rayon?
Yes, of course.
With a half loop top stitching on the hem?
Absolutely. It's one of a kind.
It's impossible to use a half loop top stitching on low viscosity rayon. It would snag the fabric. And you didn't just get it in. I saw it in the June Vogue a year ago. So if you're trying to sell it to me for full price, you picked the wrong girl. Girls, this is it. In a few hours, I'll be the future Mrs. Warner Huntington III.
A manly hand knocks at an old-fashioned iron door knocker. A sorority girl opens the door, and Warner steps inside. The girl gushes with admiration as he saunters into the hallway. He's wearing a suave suit and a pair of shades, which he takes off as Elle glides down the staircase in a tight pink dress. She beams at him lovingly, then goes over to him.
Wow, you look so beautiful.
So do you.
They share a lingering kiss, watched by a group of admiring sorority girls. As they pull apart, Elle smiles girlishly at Warner.
Let's get out of here.
As he strides away, Elle turns to her sisters. One gives her a handbag, another sprays breath freshener into her mouth, and another pops perfume onto her hair. As Elle heads off, the girls watch with excited anticipation. At the restaurant...
It's just strange having such perfect eyes.
Oh, you're so wonderful. Elle, thank you.
Here's to us.
To us?
They sip their champagne.
Elle?
Yes?
One of the reasons I wanted to come here tonight was to discuss our future.
And I am fully amenable to that discussion.
Good. Well, you know how we've been having all kinds of fun lately?
Yeah.
Well, Harvard is going to be different. Law school is a completely different world, and I need to be serious.
Of course.
I mean, my family expects a lot from me.
Right.
I expect a lot from me. I plan on running for office someday.
And I fully support that, Warner. You know that, right?
Absolutely. Okay. But the thing is, if I'm going to be a senator by the time I'm 30, I need to stop digging around.
Warner, I completely agree.
Well, that's why I think it's time for us. Elle. Pooh Bear.
I think we should
break up.
The smile drops from her face.
What?
Well, I've been thinking about it, and I think it's the right thing to do.
You're breaking up with me? I thought you were proposing.
Proposing? Elle, if I'm going to be a senator, well, I need to marry a Jackie, not a Marilyn.
So you're breaking up with me because I'm too blonde?
No, that's not entirely true.
Then what? My boobs are too big?
No, your boobs are fine.
So when you said that you would always love me, you were just dicking around?
Well, I do love you. I just can't marry you. You have no idea the pressure that I am under. My family has 5 generations of senators. My brother's in the top 3 at Yale Law. And he just got engaged to a Vanderbilt, for Christ's sake.
Warner notices the other customers' curious stares.
Bad salad. Sweetie. Pooh Bear? It's not like I have a choice here, sweetheart.
She storms off.
Okay, you get the car, I'll get the check.
Elle's walking down the street with tears tracking mascara down her face.
Come on, let me take you home.
No!
Elle, believe me, I never expected to do this. But I think it's the right thing.
How can it be the right thing when we're not together?
Well, I have to think of my future and what my family expects of me.
So you're breaking up with me because you're afraid your family won't like me? Everybody likes me.
Well, East Coast people are different.
What, just because I'm not available, suddenly I'm white trash? I grew up in Bel Air, Warner, across the street from Aaron Spelling. I think most people would agree that's a lot better than some sticky old Vanderbilt.
I told you, I need someone serious.
But I'm seriously in love with you. Isn't that enough?
Pooh Bear, just get in the car. You're gonna ruin your shoes.
She hesitates.
Okay.
She gets into his open-topped car. The car cruises along a quiet street, then stops outside the sorority house. Elle gives Warner a tearful look, then nods her head meekly and gets out of the car. She turns back, about to say something, but Warner's already driving away. She takes meek little pigeon steps up to the front door. The next day, one of Elle's friends strides down the corridor.
Morning, Amy.
Amy knocks on Elle's bedroom door.
Elle, it's Amy. I'm having trouble with this whole lip liner thing.
Sweetie, didn't you hear?
Hear what?
Oh, it's terrible. He dumped her.
Lucky.
Elle's lying in bed, eating chocolates and watching a cheesy soap opera.
But you're wrong. I will remember, no matter what.
Two of her friends come in with takeaway drinks.
Have to leave this room. It's been like a week.
So?
Drink this.
What's the one thing that always makes us feel better no matter what?
Manicures and pedicures.
She had 8 grilled cheese sandwiches.
Oh, no.
She stuffed them in her mouth all at once. It was so sad. We all thought she'd be the first to walk down the aisle, and now she's totally adrift.
Totally.
She hasn't conditioned her hair in like a week.
Maybe she's going for the grunge look.
And like, her nails are full on chipped.
So Trailer Park.
Elle's friend says she'll never get him back with those cuticles, and her manicurist replies, no shit. Leaping through a magazine, Elle gasps in shock.
Oh my God. Do you know who this is?
No.
That's Warner's older brother.
Who?
Third-year Yale Law student Putnam Bowes Huntington III and his fiancée, Lane Walker Vanderbilt. First-year Yale Law. This is the type of girl that Warner wants to marry. This is what I need to become to be serious.
What? Practically deformed?
No. A law student.
With her eyes alive with excitement, Elle hurries out.
Law school?
It's a perfectly respectable place, Daddy.
Honey, you were first runner-up at the Miss Hawaiian Tropics contest. Why are you going to throw that all away?
Going to Harvard is the only way I'm going to get the love of my life back.
Oh, sweetheart, you don't need law school. Law school's for people who are boring and ugly and serious. And you, Button, are none of those things.
In the school office...
Harvard Law School?
That's right.
But that's a top 3 school.
Oh, I have a 4.0.
Yes. But your major is fashion merchandising. Harvard won't be impressed that you aced History of Polka Dots. What are your backups?
I don't need backups. I'm going to Harvard.
Well then, you'll need... excellent recommendations from your professors.
Okay.
And a heck of an admissions essay. And at least a 175 on your LSATs.
I once had to judge a Tidy Whitey contest for Lambda Kappa Pi. Trust me, I can handle anything.
The teacher hands her a slip.
Thanks.
Welcome.
I have a metabolism. I have a really high metabolism.
They notice Elle reading big books.
Oh my God. What are you doing?
Reading about the LSATs.
My cousin had that. Apparently you get a really bad rash on your...
The LSATs are an exam. Girls, I'm going to Harvard.
You mean like on vacay? Let's all go road trip!
No, I'm going to Harvard Law School.
Why?
Elle, now, I know you're upset about all this, but can't you just take a Percocet?
Okay, once Warner sees me as a serious law student, he'll totally want me back. It's a completely brilliant plan.
But isn't it hard to get into law school?
Well, I have the highest GPA in Delta Nu.
Oh, here. You're gonna need this.
Your scrunchie?
My lucky scrunchie. It helped me pass Spanish.
You passed Spanish because you gave Professor Montoya a lap dance after the final.
Yeah. Luckily.
Oh, hi. My name is Elle Woods. And for my admissions essay, I'm going to tell all of you at Harvard why I'm going to make an amazing lawyer.
As president of my sorority, I'm skilled at commanding the attention of a room and discussing very important issues. It has come to my attention that the maintenance staff is switching our toilet paper from Charmin to generic. All those opposed to chafing, please say aye.
Aye.
A. Neither type of opera or neither type of rap is on sale. B. Neither type of jazz and neither type of opera is on sale. C. Neither type of opera and neither type of soul.
Elle's distracted by some rowdy boys outside.
Hey. Mm-mm.
Okay.
I'm able to recall hundreds of important details at the drop of a hat.
Hey, Elle, do you know what happened on Days of Our Lives yesterday?
Why, yes, Margot, I do. Once again, we join Hope in the search for her identity. As you know, she's been brainwashed by the evil Stefano.
Three, get set, and go!
While the other girls exercise, Elle starts to practice her LSAT test. At the end, her score is marked on the paper.
143.
Elle looks disheartened.
I feel comfortable using legal jargon in everyday life. I object.
In a crowded study hall, Elle's taking the actual exam. She looks flustered as she struggles to answer a question. Later, at the sorority house, the girls run up to her excitedly. Elle rips open the envelope while the girls jump up and down excitedly. Elle looks at them with an intense expression.
What is happening now?
They jump around in a frenzy of excitement. Someone throws streamers down the staircase as the girls lift a triumphant Elle up on their shoulders. At Harvard, the admissions tutors are watching Elle's video.
And that's why you should vote for me, Elle Woods, future lawyer for the class of 2004.
They stare at her in her bikini with dumbstruck expressions.
She does have a 4.0 from CULA, and she got a 179 on her LSATs.
A fashion major? Well, sir, we've never had one before, and aren't we always looking for diversity?
Her list of extracurricular activities is impressive.
She was in a Ricky Martin video.
Clearly, she's interested in music.
She also designed a line of faux fur panties for her sorority's charity project.
Uh-huh. She's a friend to the animals as well as a philanthropist.
Elle Woods. Welcome to Harvard.
He looks at Elle's smiling face, freeze-framed on the TV screen. Now, flying over a lush green forest at the edges of a sprawling city. An open-topped car crosses a bridge, moving towards the city. Now, an aerial view of Harvard's majestic college buildings. One of the buildings has a multi-tiered spire. Elle's convertible leads a removals van across the campus, which is bustling with newly arrived students. Elle's dog sits up in the passenger seat.
Oh, Fraser, it's so exciting! Look! Harvard! Are you excited?
Removal men start emptying a large van. Elle stands in front of a building bearing the sign Wyeth House, Harvard Law School.
This is our new house for the next 3 years. Oh, are you thirsty? Okay, let's get you some water. Sweetheart, you just look parched.
Hey, Brad, check out Malibu Barbie. Where's the beach, honey?
way. Warner's gonna be so excited to see you. Guys, this way.
This ain't L.A.
Come on, Bruiser.
Students watch with mocking frowns.
Check her out.
Oh, it's gonna be so exciting. Now, don't be scared. Everyone will love you.
A banner reads, "Welcome, law students, class of 2004.
Hi. Woods, L?
The student rep looks oddly at her brightly colored clothes.
Class schedule, map, book list.
She checks her papers.
Wait a second, my social events calendar is missing.
Your what?
Social events, you know, mixers, formals, clam bakes, trips to the Cape.
He gives her a mocking glance.
Okay, has Warner Huntington III checked in yet?
No. You know, maybe you should check with the cruise director on the Lido deck.
Her smile falters.
Okay, welcome to law school. This is the part where we go around in a circle and everyone says a little bit about themselves. Let's start with you.
My name is David Kidney. I have a master's in Russian literature, a PhD in biochemistry, and for the last 18 months, I've been deworming orphans in Somalia.
Awesome. What about you?
Hey, how you doing? I'm Enid Wexler. Got a PhD from Berkeley in Women's Studies, emphasis in the history of combat. And last year, I single-handedly organized the March for Lesbians Against Drunk Driving.
Killer.
Thanks. Good times.
Aaron Mitchell. I graduated first in my class from Princeton. I have an IQ of 187. And it's been suggested that Stephen Hawking stole his brief history of time from my fourth grade paper.
Cool.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, I'm Elle Woods, and this is Breezer Woods, and we're both Gemini vegetarians. I have a bachelor's degree in fashion merchandising from CULA, and I was a Zeta Lambda Nu sweetheart, president of my sorority, Delta Nu, and last year I was homecoming queen. Oh, 2 weeks ago I saw Cameron Diaz at Fred Segal, and I talked her out of buying this truly heinous Angora sweater. Whoever said orange is the new pink was seriously disturbed.
Her classmates wear stunned expressions.
Wish me luck, Bruiser. This is my first class as a serious law student.
Dressed in a suit, she looks in the mirror and puts on a pair of spectacles.
I totally look the part.
Bruiser buries his head under a blanket. Now, Elle's striding confidently down the hallway. Swinging a red bag in one hand, she beams happily, but slows to a stop when she spots Warner standing in the hallway checking a notice board. She takes a deep breath, then strides right past him.
Elle?
Warner? I totally forgot you go here.
What are you talking about? I'm sorry, are you here to see me?
No, silly. I go here.
You go where?
Harvard. Law school.
You got into Harvard Law?
What, like it's hard? Oh my gosh, Warner, it's gonna be so great. I'm planning this great mixer. You totally have to help me. I'm thinking like a luau or maybe like casino night. This is gonna be just like senior year, except for funner. Oh, time to go. I have to go to class, but meet me after on the benches, okay? All right, bye.
She saunters away, leaving him open-mouthed with shock. As students file into the classroom, Elle stops in the doorway and drinks in the ambience with a smile on her face.
A legal education means you will learn to speak in a new language. You will be taught to achieve insight into the world around you and to sharply question what you know. The seat you have picked will be yours for the next 9 months of your life. And those of you in the front row, beware. The law is reason free from passion. Does anyone know who spoke those immortal words?
David.
Yeah.
Aristotle.
The teacher approaches, fixing him with a scrutinizing gaze.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Would you be willing to stake your life on it?
I think so.
What about his life?
She hits another student on the head with a pencil.
I don't know.
Well, I recommend knowing before speaking. The law leaves much room for interpretation, but very little for self-doubt. And you were right. It was Aristotle. Now, I assume all of you have read pages 1 through 48 and are now well-versed in subject matter jurisdiction. Who can tell us about Gordon versus Steele? Let's call on someone from the hot zone.
The teacher notices Elle sitting in the front row, writing in a heart-shaped notebook with a fluffy pen, unlike most of the other students who have brought their own laptops. The teacher strolls up to the desk and looks down at her with a mocking smile.
Elle Woods.
Oh. I wasn't aware that we had an assignment.
Oh.
The teacher checks her clipboard, then approaches another student.
Vivian Kensington, do you think it's acceptable that Ms. Woods is not prepared?
No. I don't.
Would you support my decision to ask her to leave class and to return only when she is prepared?
Absolutely.
The teacher turns and glares at Elle, while Vivian gives Elle a pert and playful smile. Looking affronted, Elle packs up her things. She gets up from her seat and strides out of the classroom.
Now, Miss Kensington, did diversity jurisdiction exist in this case?
No, it did not.
Good. How about in the case of Owens versus McCullough?
Elle storms outside and sits down on a bench next to a young man who's writing studiously in a notebook. She mutters to herself.
Excuse me, are you okay?
Did I just put you on the spot like that, like all the time?
The professors? Yeah, they tend to do that. Socratic method.
And so if you don't know the answer, they're just going to kick you out.
So you have Stromwell, huh?
Yes. Did she do that to you, too?
No. But she did make me cry once. I mean, not in class. I waited till I got back to my room. But yeah, she'll kick you right in the ball. Yeah, or wherever, you know. But yeah, she's tough. Really tough.
Great.
Don't worry, though. It gets better. Who else do you have?
I have Callahan, Royalton, and Leventhal.
Yeah. See, speak up in Callahan's class. He really likes people that are opinionated.
Okay.
And in Royalton's class, try to get a seat in the back. He tends to spit when he talks about products liability. And for Leventhal, you know, make sure you read the footnotes, because that's where he gets a lot of his exam questions from.
Right. Wow. I'm really glad I met you.
Hey.
Are you a third year?
Hey, well, I'm a...
Hi. Thanks for all your help.
Good luck.
Hi, Warner.
Hi. How was your first class?
Oh, it was good, except for this horrible preppy girl who tried to make me look bad in front of the professor, but... No biggie. You're here now. So, how was your summer?
Good. It's good.
Did you do anything exciting?
Vivian arrives.
Hey. Have you met Vivian?
Oh, hi. Vivian Kensington.
Do you know her?
She's,
I'm his fiancé.
She shows off her sparkling diamond ring.
I'm sorry, I just hallucinated. What?
Yeah, she was my girlfriend in prep school. And, well, we got back together this summer at my grandmother's birthday party.
Warner told me all about you. You're famous at our club. But he didn't tell me you'd be here.
Pooh Bear, I didn't know she would be here.
Elle looks devastated.
Excuse me.
Elle speeding along the road in her convertible. She passes a shop whose sign reads, Neptune's Beauty Nook Hair and Nails. She stares at it longingly and in a flash does a U-turn and parks alongside it. She gets out of the car, leaving behind her a tangle of traffic. Charging into the shop, she traipses desperately over to a beautician who's reading a magazine.
Are you free? It's an emergency.
Bad day.
You can't even imagine.
The beautician puts down her magazine.
Spill.
I worked so hard to get into law school. I blew off Greek week to study for the LSATs. I even hired a Coppola to direct my admissions video. All to get my boyfriend Warner back, and now he's engaged to this awful girl, Vivian. So it was all for nothing, and I just wish I had never gone to Harvard.
After you went to all that trouble.
He's engaged. She's got the 6-carat Harry Winston on her bony, unpolished finger. What am I supposed to do?
You're asking the wrong girl. I mean, I'm with my guy 8 years, and then one day it's... Oh, I met someone else. Move out.
Oh, no. That's awful.
Dewey kept the trailer and my precious baby Rufus.
A photo of a dog.
I didn't even get to throw him a birthday party.
No.
I mean, what's a girl to do? He's a guy who followed his pecker to greener pastures. And I'm a middle-aged high school dropout. He's got stretch marks and a fat ass.
That's terrible.
Yeah. Happens every day. So what's this Vivian got that you don't have? 3 tits?
She's from Connecticut. She belongs to a stupid country club.
She as pretty as you?
She could use some mascara and some serious highlights, but she's not completely unfortunate looking.
How you doing, Neptune?
Hello, ladies.
Hey there.
How you doing? Sign here.
The manicurist, Paulette, is distracted by the attractive delivery man and spills her nail solution.
Look what I did.
See you later.
Oh, shit. Could I have been any more goddamn spastic?
It's okay.
So are you sure this Warner guy is, like, the one?
Definitely. I love him.
Well, if a girl like you can't hold on to her man, then there sure as hell isn't any hope for the rest of us. What are you waiting for? Steal the bastard back.
Elle grins.
I should warn you that in addition to competing against each other for the top grade in this class, you will also be competing for one of my firm's highly coveted 4 internship spots next year, where you will get to assist on actual cases.
Let the bloodbath begin.
Now let's commence with our usual torture. Ms. Woods. Would you rather have a client who committed a crime malum in se or malum prohibitum?
Neither.
And why is that?
I would rather have a client who's innocent.
Dare to dream, Miss Woods. Miss Kensington, which would you prefer?
Malum prohibitum. Because then the client would have committed a regulatory infraction as opposed to a dangerous crime.
Well done, Ms. Kensington. You've obviously done your homework. Now, let us look at malum prohibitum a little more closely. It has been said. Yes, Ms. Woods.
I changed my mind. I'd pick the dangerous one, because I'm not afraid of a challenge.
Hey!
Now, Elle distracts a football game.
Who's that?
Warner has run through the pack triumphantly, but no one is paying him any attention.
Guys.
Hi.
Warner smiles across at Elle, who has his teammates' undivided attention. She giggles coquettishly. Later in the library, she walks up to Warner, who's with Vivian and some others studying.
Hi, everybody.
Elle, what are you doing here?
I've come to join your study group. And look, I brought sustenance. Who's first?
Mm-mm. Our group is full.
Oh, is this like an RSVP thing?
No, it's like a smart people thing. And as Viv said, we're full.
Come on, guys, we can make room for one more.
Ow!
We've already assigned the outlines. The answer is no.
The other members of the study group avoid Elle's hurt expression, but then she rallies.
Oh, okay. I'll just leave then.
Elle walks past a group of women, including her classmate, Enid.
Hey, maybe there's like a sorority you could like join instead, like.
You know, if you had come to a rush party, I would have at least been nice to you.
Oh, is that before you voted against me and then called me a dyke behind my back?
I don't use that word. You must have heard it from Vivian.
Later, Elle trudges into her room, wrapped in a dressing gown and holding Bruiser. She leans back against her pillow, looking depressed, then picks up her pink, fluffy telephone handset.
Hello?
Hey, it's me.
It's Elle. Guess what I'm doing right this second.
I don't know. What?
Oh, I'm picking out my wedding dress.
What?
Josh proposed.
Did you get the rock yet?
Almost.
Well, hurry up so you can come home. We miss you.
I miss you guys, too. The people here are so vile.
Hardly anybody speaks to me unless...
Oh, my God. I almost forgot to tell you.
What?
I got fangs.
My hair is so now.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so just listen to me.
Keep June 1st open, one of my bridesmaids, and give Warner our love.
Because I'm getting married! I'm getting married!
Margot trips over her wedding dress and the phone goes dead.
So don't forget, 8 o'clock at 45 Dunstan Street. Great. It'll be a really nice party.
Okay, we'll be there.
Oh, and don't forget to bring your own Merlot.
Oh, okay.
No, wait, is somebody at the school actually having a party?
Yes. But it's a costume party. You probably wouldn't want to come.
I love costume parties.
Oh. Well, then I guess we'll see you there.
Okay.
Oh, at 45 Dunstan Street.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That night, Elle walks towards a house wearing silver stilettos, dark pink tights, and a very skimpy bunny girl outfit, complete with fluffy tail. Inside, playing table football, Enid stares in amazement.
Oh my God!
Nobody else is in costume.
Hey!
Elle grins sheepishly, then struts over to Vivian and her friend. Vivian spits out a spray of white wine.
Thanks for inviting me, girls. This party is super fun.
Nice outfit!
Oh, I like your outfit too, except when I dress up as a frigid bitch, I try not to look so constipated.
Vivian looks put out.
She's horrible.
You've got the ring, sweetie.
They both stare at the diamond.
How you doing?
Warner, the English language, it is all about subliminal domination. I mean, take the word semester, okay? This is a perfect example of this school's discriminatory preference of semen to ovaries. That's why I'm petitioning to have next term be referred to as the winter ovester.
Excuse me. Hey, Warner.
Wow. Well, don't you look like a walking felony?
Thank you. You're so sweet.
Oh.
Are you having fun?
I am now. What's with the costume?
Oh, I just decided to dress up.
Really?
You know, I feel like we barely get to see each other since we've been here.
Oh, I know. I'm so busy with these case studies and hypos.
I know what you mean. I can't imagine doing all this and Callahan's internship next year. This is going to be so much.
Oh, Elle. Come on, you're never going to get the grades to qualify for one of those spots.
You're not smart enough, sweetie.
Wait, am I on glue, or did we not get into the same law school, Warner?
Well, yeah, but...
But what? We took the same LSATs, and we're taking the same classes.
I know, but come on, Elle, be serious. You can do something more valuable with your time.
I'm never going to be good enough for you, am I?
She turns on her heels and walks out.
Elle, oh, come on.
Just forget it. I'll show you how valuable Elle Woods can be.
Now, still in her bunny girl outfit, Elle's queuing up to buy a computer. The man who sat next to her on the benches comes to stand behind her.
Don't ask.
Wasn't gonna.
She strides forward and he gives her an admiring look. Later, she's tapping on the keyboard of her laptop, then walking past Vivian and her friends.
I love this one. It's Chanel.
They spot her.
Is she carrying books?
In the library, Elle's struggling to reach a book when the very tall student, David, gets it down for her.
Thanks.
So, you filed a claim. What next? Ms. Woods?
Don't you need to have evidence?
Meaning?
Meaning you need reasonable belief that your claim should have, like, evidentiary support?
And what kind of evidentiary support does this case require?
Bruiser's enjoying a dog commercial when Elle switches channels to a serious current affairs program. She's got a large tome open in front of her whilst she works out on an exercise machine.
In the article, you talk about all sorts of things, corrupt cops.
She carries on studying even when she's under the hairdryer at the beauty parlor. Bruiser's one along from her, waiting for highlights to dry.
And the purpose of diminished capacity is...
to negate mens rea?
Professor Callahan nods approvingly and Elle beams. Now Elle drives into a scrap metal yard that's full of abandoned cars and oil drums. Paulette sitting in the passenger seat, looking anxious.
Are you ready?
No.
Ah, yes, yes, you are. Go. You can do this.
Listen to me, Dewey. You shut your mouth. You shut your big mouth. I'm doing all the talking.
She knocks on the door of a rundown trailer. A sleazy-looking man appears.
What the hell do you want? We're eating lunch.
I just thought that
You just thought you could come here and show me what I'm definitely not missing?
That's not why I came by.
Hey, Paulette, how many times are you going to come over here begging me to take you back, huh?
I was,
Do we nuke him?
Who's asking?
I'm Elle Woods, Miss Bonifante's attorney. And I'm here to discuss the legal situation at hand.
Come again?
Do you understand what subject matter jurisdiction is?
No.
I didn't think so. Well, due to habeas corpus, you and Miss Bonifante had a common law marriage, which heretofore entitles her to what is legally referred to as equitable division of the assets.
Come again?
Due to the fact that you've retained this residence, Miss Bonifante is entitled to full canine property ownership and will be enforcing said ownership right now.
Huh?
Tell him, Paulette.
Elle gives Paulette an encouraging nod.
I'm taking the dog, dumbass.
They clamber into the car with Paulette holding Rufus in her arms.
Oh my gosh, did you see him? He's probably still scratching his head.
Yeah, which must be a nice vacation for his balls.
Paulette kisses Rufus's furry head.
Thank you.
Well, according to Swinney versus Newbert, Swinney, who was also a private sperm donor, was allowed visitation rights as long as he came to terms with the hours set forth by the parents. So if we're sticking to past precedent, I mean, Mr. Latimer wasn't stalking. He was clearly within his rights to ask for visitation.
But Swinney was a one-time sperm donor. And in our case, the defendant was an habitual sperm donor who also happens to be harassing the parents in his quest for visitation.
Well, yeah, but I mean, without this man's sperm, the child in question wouldn't exist.
Now you're thinking like a lawyer.
Tentatively, Elle raises her hand.
Yes, Ms. Woods.
Although Mr. Huntington makes an excellent point, I have to wonder if the defendant kept a thorough record of every sperm emission made throughout his life.
Interesting. Why do you ask?
Well, unless the defendant attempted to contact every single one-night stand to determine if a child resulted in those unions, he has no parental claim over this child whatsoever. Why now? Why this sperm?
I see your point.
And for that matter, all masturbatory emissions where his sperm was clearly not seeking an egg could be termed reckless abandonment.
I believe you've just won your case.
Elle's thrilled, but Vivian's poo-faced.
Ms. Woods, you did well today.
Really?
You're applying for my internship, aren't you?
I don't know.
You should. Do you have a resume?
Yes, I do.
The sheet of pink paper.
Here it is.
It's pink.
Oh, and it's scented. I think it gives it a little something extra, don't you think? Okay, we'll see you next class.
The man from the bench steps forward.
You think she just woke up one morning and said,
I think I'll go to law school today.
Well, that lapse in judgment aside, I think she's got a lot of potential. Here's the Wyndham file. Smell this. What's that?
It's her resume.
It smells good.
Now, snow's falling and Christmas lights are reflected in the windows of the beauty parlor, where Elle and Paulette are sitting at a manicure table and drinking cans of beer. They toast each other. The seasons change and the trees are in leaf. A throng of students are crowding a corridor.
What's going on?
Callahan's firm is defending a murder trial. His caseload is so big, he's taking on first-year interns.
He picked them already?
Oh my God, I can't believe it, Warner. We got it!
That only leaves one for...
A manicured finger points to the last name on the list.
Me!
Elle stunned everyone into silence.
Oh, Warner.
She walks up to Vivian and Warner.
Do you remember when we spent those 4 amazing hours in the hot tub after winter formal?
Yeah, no.
This is so much better than that. Excuse me, I have some shopping to do.
4 hours.
Now, the sun shines down on the sprawling city. Elle comes out of an elevator and finds herself opposite Warner and Vivian in an elegant corridor. They're all smartly dressed. Warner heads off, leaving the two girls together.
You look very nice today, Vivian.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Elle sashes down the corridor and Vivian follows, looking a little thrown. Now, Callahan joins the interns and other lawyers who are sitting at a polished table.
We're defending Brooke Wyndham, whose very wealthy husband was found shot to death in their Beacon Hill mansion.
Gold digger?
You'd think so, since the stiff was 60, but she was rich on her own, some kind of fitness empire. You can buy her exercise tapes on infomercials.
Wait, are you talking about Brooke Taylor?
Maiden name Taylor. You know her?
She's a Delta Nu. She wasn't in my pledge class, but she graduated 4 years before me. But I used to take her class at the Los Angeles Sports Club. She's amazing.
Amazing? How?
She can make you lose like 3 pounds in one class. She's completely gifted.
Well, in all likelihood, she's completely guilty as well. She was seen standing over her husband's dead body.
By who?
his 26-year-old daughter, and the pool boy.
Sorry I'm late. Excuse me.
This is Emmett Richmond, another associate, top three in his class, and former editor of Harvard Law Review. You've probably seen him lurking around campus doing my research.
Thanks for the introduction. So, what about the murder weapon?
The gun is missing. The coroner said he'd been dead 30 minutes when the cops arrived, giving Brooke plenty of time to stash it.
I just don't think Brooke could have done this. Exercise gives you endorphins. Endorphins make you happy. Happy people just don't shoot their husbands. They just don't.
I didn't do it. I walked in. I saw my husband lying on the floor. I bent down to check his heart, screamed my head off, and then Enrique and Chutney ran inside.
Okay, your stepdaughter and the pool boy came in, where they saw you standing over the body covered in his blood.
Why would I kill my husband?
Insurance, the love affair, pure, unadulterated hatred. Believe me, the DA will come up with plenty of reasons.
I loved him.
He was 34 years older than you. That doesn't look so good to a jury.
Then show them a picture of his dick. That might clear a few things up.
Brooke, I believe you, but a jury is going to want an alibi.
Well, I can't give you that. And if you put me on the stand, I'll lie.
Well, then, I guess we're done for today.
Brooke covers her face with her hands. Elle's last to leave the room, and Brooke stands up as she passes.
Hey.
Hi, I know you.
I'm a Delta Nu, and I'm a huge fan of yours.
You took my class in L.A.?
Uh-huh.
You had the best high kick I've ever seen. Are you one of my lawyers?
Yeah, sort of.
Well, thank God one of you has a brain.
Go.
Brooke is taken away, and Elle smiles proudly.
I'm the only one that believes her. Callahan totally thinks she's guilty.
Yeah, that's because men are big, fat retards who don't...
Afternoon, ladies.
Hey, how's it going?
Paulette Bonafonte.
Oh, my God. He's coming over here.
I've got a package.
He's got a package.
Paulette is frozen up, so the delivery man offers Elle the electronic pad to sign. She does so, flicking her eyes between him and Paulette.
How you doing today?
Fine.
He puts the package on the floor beside Paulette.
Take it easy.
See you later.
Take it easy.
That's great, Paulette. Is this the only interaction you two have ever had?
No. Sometimes I say okay instead of fine.
Well, why don't you offer him a cold beverage or a neck massage or something?
Oh, come on, what's the point?
Trust me, Paulette, you have all the equipment. You just need to read the manual. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay, I'm going to show you a little maneuver that my mother taught me in junior high. In my experience, it has a 98% success rate of getting a man's attention and, when used appropriately, it has an 83% rate of return on a dinner invitation.
Wow.
It's called the bend and snap. Watch this. I think I dropped something on the floor that I need to pick up. So you bend and snap. See? Come on, you try.
Paulette stands up next to Elle.
Bend and snap. Okay. Yeah. A little less bend, a little more snap.
Like this?
Good snap. Come on. You! Come on. You can do it.
Bend and snap.
Oh, you can do it.
A larger lady gets into her groove, while others cup their breasts in order to perfect their snaps.
Yeah.
Oh my
my God, the bend and snap works every time.
Well, if Brooke didn't kill the guy, then who did?
My money is on the angry daughter or the ex-wife.
Chutney has a trust fund. She didn't need the insurance payoff or the inheritance.
What about the mother?
Covered. She was in Aspen at the time. Vivian, give me some plum sauce. 10 people saw her downing cosmopolitans at the Caribou Club.
Well, all I know is that it's not Brooke.
That's touching, Al. But we need an alibi.
At the prison.
I brought you some necessities. Some Calvin Klein 720-count sheets. The entire Clinique skincare line. Some aromatherapy candles. A loofah. Oh! And the Bible.
You're an angel.
So how are you? Are you all right? You look so orange.
I'm just glad that it's you and not Callahan.
He means well. He's very brilliant.
Yeah, he better be for what I'm paying for him.
I have to tell you the real reason I came here. Professor Callahan says we really, really need your alibi.
Oh, I can't. I mean, you don't understand.
Who could understand better than me?
It's so shameful.
Whatever it is, Brooke, it could save you.
No, that's just it. It would ruin me.
How?
I've made my fortune on the ability to perfect women's bodies with Brooke's butt buster workout.
I know, you helped me go from a 6 to a 4.
That's great. On the day of Hayworth's murder.
She whispers into the telephone handset.
I was getting
liposuction! Oh, God!
No.
I know, I'm a fraud! It's not like normal women can have this ass!
If my fans knew that I bought it, I would lose everything. I've already lost my husband. I'd rather go to jail than lose my reputation.
Brooke, your secret's safe with me.
Vivian, grab me some coffee. We got 2 interviews tomorrow that Gerard and Bobby are going to handle, the ex-wife in an hour. And according to this communique from the prison, our client apparently had a visit from her sister, a Miss Delta Nu. Anyone you know?
Yes, I went to visit her.
What the hell do you mean you went to visit her?
I went to get her alibi.
Did you get it?
Mm-hmm. It's really good.
Well, great. What is it?
Oh, I can't tell you.
Why the hell not?
Because I promised her I'd keep it a secret, and I can't break the bonds of sisterhood.
Screw sisterhood! This is a murder trial, not some scandal. At the sorority house, I want the alibi.
I can't give it to you. But I can tell you she is innocent.
Mr. Callahan, Mrs. Wyndham Vandermark is on line 2 for you.
Someone reason with her while I take this.
Are you crazy? Just tell him the alibi.
No.
We're going to lose this case if you don't.
Well, then we're not very good lawyers.
If you tell him, he'll probably hire you as a summer associate. Who cares about Brooke? Think about yourself.
I gave her my word, Warner.
So what?
Vivian looks disgusted by him.
The ex-wife seems to be unconcerned with the fact that her interview is today. She's at a spa in the Berkshires.
A spa? Isn't that kind of like your mothership?
I could go if you want me to.
Emmett.
Yeah.
Go with her.
Okay.
Emmett gathers together his things. Now the two of them are driving along the freeway, then later down a leafy lane.
She seems completely untrustworthy to me.
Why?
I mean, this is a person who's made her living by telling women that they're too fat.
Brooke would never tell a woman that she was too fat.
And she seems to me like she's hiding something.
But maybe it's not what you think.
Maybe it's exactly what I think.
You know, you're really being a butthead.
A butthead? Why would you call me that?
You know, Emmett, you just need to have a little more faith in people. You might be surprised.
I can't believe you just called me a butthead. I mean, no one's called me a butthead since about the 9th grade.
Maybe not to your face.
So this is what a spa looks like. Wow. How do we find her?
I called ahead. She's in the men's room.
She's not, naked, is she?
Inside,
Mrs. Wyndham Vandermark?
So, you found me.
Yes. We're from Austin, Platt, Jarrett, and Callahan, and we're here to ask you a few questions.
So, I hear that that little tart from California shot poor Hayworth.
Well, that's what we're trying to prove didn't happen, actually.
Do you have any reason to believe that it did?
Well, I've never actually met the woman, but my daughter tells me she can be quite the little bitch.
Now, did your daughter ever mention anything to you about the relationship between Brooke and Hayworth?
Well, she did say that they humped like gorillas. I guess it wasn't enough, though, for Brooke.
Why do you say that?
Well, haven't you seen the cabana boy?
She's lying.
And you know this for a fact.
Did you see the icky brown color of her hair?
So?
Now you discriminate against brunettes?
Why shouldn't I? I'm discriminated against as a blonde.
You know, being a blonde is actually a pretty powerful thing. You hold more cards than you think you do. And I personally would like to see you take that power and channel it towards the greater good, you know?
Thanks. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Hey.
Yeah?
How do you think I'd look as a blonde, you know?
I'm not sure you can handle it. Bye.
Elle watches Emmett drive away with a smile. Walking back to her dorm, she passes David with two girls.
So I called your room last night.
I heard.
I was thinking maybe we could go out sometime.
No, you're a dork.
I'm in law school.
Look, I'm not going to go out with you. I can't believe you'd even ask. Girls like me don't go out with losers like you. Let's get out of here.
Excuse me.
Elle slaps David on the face.
Why didn't you call me?
What?
We spent a beautiful night together, and then I never hear from you again?
I'm sorry?
Sorry for what? For breaking my heart or for giving me the greatest pleasure I've ever known, and then just taking it away?
Both?
Well, forget it. I've already spent too many hours crying over you.
She walks away with a grin.
So, when did you want to go out?
Later, someone knocks on Elle's door.
Come in.
A sheepish-looking Vivian stands in the doorway.
Are you done with that deposition yet?
Oh, yeah, here, take it. I've read it like 20 times.
Okay.
Vivian hesitantly picks up the paperwork, then lingers.
You know, Elle, I still can't believe you didn't tell Callahan the alibi.
It's not my alibi to tell.
I know. And I thought that was very classy of you.
Really?
Sure.
Thanks.
Vivian starts to walk out, but turns back again.
Did you ever notice how Callahan never asks Warner to bring him his coffee? I mean, he's asked me at least 10 times.
Well, men are helpless, you know that.
I know, Warner doesn't even do his own laundry.
I know, he has to have it sent out.
I know. Did you know when he first applied? He got waitlisted.
What?
His father had to make a call.
You're kidding. No way.
Elle rolls her eyes.
Oh, God, that's such a precious dog. Hi.
His name is Bruiser. Do you want to hold him?
Oh.
He's very friendly.
Sure. Oh.
Bruiser licks Vivian's face.
Look, he likes you.
Oh, he's giving me kisses.
Thanks, Jeff. We're here today covering the trial of Brooke Wyndham. Now, you may remember she's charged with the murder of her husband, Boston millionaire Hayworth Wyndham. First to testify are the victim's daughter and ex-wife.
Superior Court of Suffolk County is now in session. The Honorable Judge Marina R. Bickford presiding. You may be seated.
Emmett is sitting with Callahan and a couple of other lawyers. The interns are on the benches behind them.
And where was she exactly?
Standing over my father's dead body.
And what was the defendant doing?
Well, she was sitting next to the pool, topless, while the Latin boy handed her a drink.
Mr. Salvatore, can you tell us what this is?
My uniform.
This is the uniform that Mrs. Wyndham asked you to wear while cleaning her pool?
A thong.
Yes.
And are you or are you not having an affair with Brooke Wyndham?
Define affair.
Have you and Mrs. Wyndham had sexual relations?
Yes, okay? Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, court will reconvene tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. We're adjourned.
You know Adelta knew would never sleep with a man who wears a thong.
Never.
I just like watching him clean the filter.
I know. I believe you, Brooke.
Take care of me, Elle.
I will.
Elle looks after Brooke mournfully. Paulette's touching up her makeup at the salon when the delivery man comes in carrying a large box. He sneaks up behind her and takes a moment to admire her curves.
I got a big one for you.
She smiles nervously.
Can you sign?
With her mouth fixed into a grin, she puts her things down on the table, then takes the pen from the delivery man. Preparing to sign, an idea dawns on her, and she stares at the pen thoughtfully. He looks at her expectantly as she lets the pen drop from her fingers. It falls in slow motion and bounces on the floor. Paulette goes for the bend.
I got it.
But when she snaps, she knocks him out.
You broke his nose?
Oh, I blew it, Al. My snap was all over the place.
I'll be there right as soon as court is out. We have to cross-examine Enrique. But don't worry, my girlfriend Serena once barfed on a guy during the Blair Witch Project, and they ended up dating for 3 months.
Really? Mm-hmm. All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Enrique cuts in front of Al at the water fountain, and she taps her foot irritably. He finishes his drink, then turns on her.
Don't stomp your little last season Prada shoes at me, honey.
For last season.
Elle hurries back into the courtroom.
Emmett! He's gay! Enrique is gay!
What?
Warner, what kind of shoes are these?
They're the black ones.
See?
What are you talking about?
He's gay. He isn't Brooke's lover. He's making it up.
Wait, back up. How do you know that he's gay?
Gay men know designers. Straight men don't.
Know what? He did leave a share tape in the pool house one time.
While I appreciate your masterful legal theory, I have a murder trial to attend to. Emmett.
Okay. I'll take care of it. Thanks.
Okay.
Court will come to order.
A court artist is drawing a caricature of Enrique.
Mr. Salvatore. Do you have any proof that you and Mrs. Wyndham were having an affair?
Only the love in my heart.
Well, if that's all the proof that he has, Your Honor, I think I'm done here.
You may step down.
I'd like to ask a couple of questions, Your Honor. Just give me a couple minutes. Did you ever take Mrs. Wyndham on a date?
Yes.
Where?
A restaurant in Concord where no one could recognize us.
And how long have you been sleeping with Mrs. Wyndham?
3 months.
And your boyfriend's name is?
Chuck.
Right.
Everyone's astounded.
Silence!
Pardon me.
Yes, Mr. Salvatore.
I was confused. Oh. You see, I thought you said friend. Chuck is just a friend.
Oh, okay. You bitch!
Chuck, wait! Silence in my court. Sit down, Mr. Salvatore. In my courtroom.
Emmett looks back at Elle and thanks her.
Good night.
Good night.
Oh, Elle,
Callahan asked to see you before you leave.
Really?
Yeah, you know, he already has his coffee, but maybe he needs a donut.
Okay. Do you need help?
No, I'm fine.
Okay, bye.
Vivian heads off.
Come on in. Hi.
Hi.
Sit down.
Okay.
Elle takes a seat on a brown leather sofa, then crosses her legs, looking expectant.
Is everything all right?
You followed your intuition today, and you were right on target. I should have listened.
Thank you.
About the alibi.
I'm sorry,
I'm impressed that you took the initiative to go there and get it. That's what makes a good lawyer. And on top of that, you gained the client's trust and kept it. That's what makes a great lawyer. You're smart, Al. Smarter than most of the guys on my payroll.
Wow.
I think it's time to discuss your career path. Have you thought about where you might be a summer associate?
Not really. I know it's very competitive.
Well, you know what competition's really about, don't you? It's about ferocity, carnage, balancing human intelligence with animal diligence. Mm-hmm. Knowing exactly what you want and how far you'll go to get it.
How far will Elle go?
Vivian sees him put his hand on Elle's knee.
Are you hitting on me?
You're a beautiful girl.
So everything you just said?
I'm a man who knows what he wants.
And I'm a law student who just realized her professor is a pathetic asshole.
Too bad. I thought you were a law student who wanted to be a lawyer.
Tearfully, Elle heads into the corridor and presses the button for the elevator. It arrives and she steps inside, but Vivian stops the doors closing with her briefcase.
You almost had me fooled.
What?
Well, maybe you should sleep with the jury too, then we can win the case.
The doors close and the look of shock on Elle's face is reflected in the polished surface. She closes her eyes and shakes her head. As she's marching through the marble lobby, Emmett spots her.
Hey!
I'm quitting.
Why?
Law school was a mistake. This whole internship was a mistake.
What are you talking about? You earned it.
I didn't earn anything, Emmett. Callahan only gave me that internship because he liked the way I looked. Which he made clear tonight when he tried to feel me up.
Callahan did what?
Just forget about it. I'm going back to L.A. We're boring suits and we're pantyhose and we're trying to be something that I'm just not.
What if you're trying to be somebody you are? What the hell with Callahan? Stay.
Call me if you're ever in California, okay?
She walks away, breaking into a trot as she nears the glass doors at the exit. Later, her convertible is stuffed full of her belongings. Inside the salon, she's bidding a tearful farewell to Paulette.
What's the point of staying, Paulette? I mean, all people see when they look at me is blonde hair and big boobs. No one's ever going to take me seriously. People at law school don't. Warner doesn't. I don't even think my own parents take me seriously. It just felt like, for the first time, that someone expected me to do something more with my life than just become a Victoria's Secret model. Then I was just kidding myself. Callahan never saw me as a lawyer. He just saw me as a piece of ass. Just like everybody else. Turns out I am a joke.
No, you're not a joke.
They hug, not noticing that someone's watching them from a chair across the salon.
The hell with law school. I just wanted to say goodbye.
If you're going to let one stupid prick ruin your life...
Professor Stromwell steps up to Al.
You're not the girl I thought you were.
Al stares at her with a tear streaking down her cheek. The professor raises one eyebrow, then with a kind smile heads out. Watching Callahan being interviewed on TV, Emmett turns up the volume.
You go in there knowing how you're going to discredit Mr. Salvatore.
Oh, absolutely. It's a little thing I like to call strategy. You know, I had a feeling about Mr. Salvatore.
Is he always such an ass?
He's the top defense attorney in the state. Of course he's an ass.
Fine, but is he an ass that's going to win my case?
Well, he's an ass that's going to try.
He thinks I'm guilty, doesn't he?
That's not what's important, though.
If he doesn't trust me, why should I trust him?
Ask Al. She looked pretty cozy with him last night.
You know, you don't even know what the hell you're talking about.
What's going on here?
Al quit.
What?
Yeah. Callahan hit on her, so she quit.
My God. Scumbag.
Oh, God.
What?
I feel terrible. I made a huge mistake.
Well, maybe there's something we can do about it.
Brooke is brought into court.
Thank you.
She smiles smugly at Callahan.
What are you so happy about? You're on trial for murder.
Get up.
What?
You're fired. I have new representation.
Who?
Everyone turns to Luke as the doors at the back of the courtroom open and Elle walks in, wearing sparkling fuchsia high heels and a pink dress. David's accompanying her. She beams excitedly, then struts to the front of the court and comes to stand at the lawyer's table.
Excuse you, you're in my way.
She's a law student. She can't defend you.
Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court ruling 3.03.
See? Thank you, David.
Counselors, approach the bench.
You're not going up there.
Oh, yes, I am.
I'm sorry, maybe you didn't hear me. You were fired.
Counselors, now, all of you.
Elle approaches confidently.
Elle Woods, Your Honor. Rule 3.03 of Supreme Judicial Court states that a law student may appear on behalf of a defendant in criminal proceedings.
Your Honor, I have no problem with this.
I do. I'm not allowing it.
Oh, but you agreed last night in your office when we were discussing my career.
The ruling also states that you need a licensed attorney to supervise you. Mr. Callahan.
That I won't agree to.
I'll supervise, Your Honor.
Well then, Ms. Woods, proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor.
The prosecuting attorney looks delighted. Elle goes to her table and waves to Paulette, who's just come in with the delivery man. Callahan stops on his way out and glowers at Brooke.
Enjoy prison.
Mrs. Wyndham, you do realize what you're doing.
Absolutely.
Oh my God, there she is! Elle!
Elle, we came to see your trial!
Oh, look how cute! There's like a judge and everything! And jury people!
Vote for Elle!
Ladies, take a seat.
As Amy and Margot sit down, Elle looks a little nervous.
Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Be seated.
Ms. Wood, you may begin your questioning.
First of all, I would like to point out that not only is there no proof in this case, but there's a complete lack of mens rea, which by definition tells us that there can be no crime without a vicious will.
I am aware of the meaning of mens rea. What I'm unaware of is why you're giving me a vocabulary lesson when you should be questioning your witness.
Yes, Your Honor. Miss Wyndham, when you arrived back at the house, was your father there?
Not that I saw, but like I said, I went straight upstairs to take a shower.
And when you came downstairs, what happened?
I saw Brooke standing over his body, drenched in his blood.
Elle glances anxiously at the jury.
But Mrs. Wyndham didn't have a gun.
No, she'd stashed it by then.
We need to strike that from the record, Your Honor. It's speculation.
So stricken.
Emmett gives Elle an encouraging nod.
Miss Wyndham, did you hear a shot fired?
No, I was in the shower.
Okay. So, sometime in the 20 minutes that you were in the shower, your father was shot.
I guess.
Your father was shot while you were in the shower, but you didn't hear the shot because you were in the shower?
Yes. I was washing my hair.
Where is she going with this?
Have a little faith, George.
Emmett urges Elle on.
Miss Wyndham, what had you done earlier that day?
I got up, got a latte, went to the gym, got a perm, and came home.
Were you got in the shower?
I believe the witness has made it clear that she was in the shower.
Yes, Your Honor. Miss Wyndham, had you ever gotten a perm before?
Yes.
How many would you say?
2 a year since I was 12. You do the math.
You know, a girl in my sorority, Tracy Marcinko, got a perm once. We all tried to talk her out of it. Curls weren't a good look for her. She didn't have your bone structure. But thankfully, that same day, she entered the Beta Delta Pi wet t-shirt contest where she was completely hosed down from head to toe.
Objection. Why is this relevant?
Oh, I have a point, I promise.
Then make it.
Yes, ma'am. Chutney, why is it that Tracy Marcinko's curls were ruined when she got hosed down?
Because they got wet?
Exactly. Because isn't it the first cardinal rule of perm maintenance that you're forbidden to wet your hair for at least 24 hours after getting a perm at the risk of deactivating the ammonium thioglycolate?
Yes.
And wouldn't somebody who's had, say, 30 perms before in their life be well aware of this rule? And if, in fact, you weren't washing your hair, as I suspect you weren't because your curls are still intact, wouldn't you have heard the gunshot? And if, in fact, you had heard the gunshot, Brooke Wyndham wouldn't have had time to hide the gun before you got downstairs, which would mean that you would have had to have found Mrs. Wyndham with a gun in her hand to make your story plausible. Isn't that right?
She's my age. Did she tell you that? How would you feel if your father married someone who was your age?
You, however, had time to hide the gun, didn't you, Chutney? After you shot your father.
I didn't mean to shoot him. I thought it was you walking through the door.
Order, order. Order.
Oh. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Bailiff, take the witness into custody where she will be charged for the murder of Hayworth Wyndham. In the matter of the state versus Brooke Wyndham, this case is dismissed. Mrs. Wyndham, you're free to go.
Bruiser jumps out of his special pink carry case and Chutney is manhandled out of the courtroom. Elle hugs Brooke and David, and Paulette kisses the delivery man. The only person not celebrating is Callahan.
Elle, how did you know that Chutney was lying?
Because she's brilliant, of course.
The rules of hair care are simple and finite. Any Cosmo girl would have known.
Warner.
Elle.
What?
I just wanted to say that you were so brilliant in there. And that I was wrong. And you are the girl for me.
Really?
Yes. Pooh Bear, I love you.
Oh, Warner. I've waited so long to hear you say that. But if I'm going to be a partner in a law firm by the time I'm 30, I need a boyfriend who's not such a complete bonehead.
She walks away, leaving him in shock.
Thank you, boys.
Now, an elegant stained glass window in the graduation hall, 2 years later.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present the graduates of Harvard Law School, class of 2004. I am personally very honored to introduce this year's class-elected speaker. After getting off to a quite interesting start here at Harvard, she graduates today with an invitation to join one of Boston's most prestigious law firms. I am sure we are going to see great things from her. Ladies and gentlemen, Elle Woods.
Elle beams as applause breaks out amongst the students. David claps enthusiastically, but Warner is begrudging. Elle hugs Professor Stromwell before stepping up to the lectern.
On our very first day at Harvard, a very wise professor quoted Aristotle. The law is reason free from passion. Well, no offense to Aristotle, but in my 3 years at Harvard, I have come to find that passion is a key ingredient to the study and practice of law and of life. It is with passion, courage of conviction, and strong sense of self that we take our next steps into the world, remembering that first impressions are not always correct. You must always have faith in people. And most importantly, you must always have faith in yourself. Congratulations, class of 2004. We did it!
Elle's dad raises a cocktail glass to his daughter, and her mum looks proud. The students, parents, and faculty members give Elle a standing ovation. Bruiser yelps excitedly, wearing a miniature mortarboard. Vivian dumped Warner. She and Elle are now best friends. Warner graduated without honors, without a girlfriend, and without any job offers. Elle married the UPS guy. They're expecting their first child, a daughter, to be named Elle. Emmett quit Callahan's firm and opened his own practice. He and Elle have been dating for the past 2 years. The graduating class members all throw their mortarboards into the air. Elle looks on with an ecstatic smile, and Emmett gazes at her lovingly. Emmett is proposing to Elle tonight. Elle beams proudly.
Shot bang that you hear around the world.